This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Please welcome
Rich Eisen.
0-4 Bears, go figure that.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
What the hell is happening in Chicago? And if Justin Fields wants to stay in Chicago, he better keep winning. Because Caleb Williams is coming.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. Comedian Lewis Black. NFL Network analyst Gerald McCoy. Plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yeah, exactly. It's a great show. Exactly. Honestly, and I'm not just saying that because of the name of it. Welcome to the Rich Eisen Show, where you've got a head coach in the National Football League, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. You've got Gerald McCoy, former NFL player, my current colleague on NFL Game Day Morning in studio. And then Lewis Black, who is one of my favorite comedians in studio. All in 3 hours. Week four is all done. Your phone calls, we take them because we're interactive like that. We want to talk with you, not at you. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on Sirius XM Odyssey, this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate. We're live on the Roku channel every day from 12 to 3 Eastern time. It's free on all Roku devices. Select Samsung Smart TV. It is free on Amazon Fire TVs. It's free on the Roku app because the Roku channel's in there. And the RokuChannel.com is free because it's on the internet. How about them apples? We're also happy to be here 1 month into the NFL season, just as the NBA starts getting completely lit. It's a lot of fun. Don't go anywhere. We're having a great time already, unless you're a New York football fan. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. What's going on,
hey,
brother?
Hey, man. What's up?
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts. Good to see you. TJ, why do you have a wig? Well, what are you doing over there?
Jimmy Butler kind of inspired me. Maybe it's time for me to switch things up a little bit with the hair, guys.
I don't know. That looks more like Spinal Tap, doesn't it?
Does that work?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see it.
Let's see.
Okay.
You know.
I like it.
Is that me?
I think it is you.
Jimmy Butler?
Very good. It's Himmy Butler.
There we go.
That's what I think.
That's what he did.
What is happening?
Oh, my God.
We got wigs. We got props. We got lots
going on. Insubordinate and churlish.
You already have a lot of hair. You don't need to put a wig on in front of the ball guy.
That's true.
Well, I was going to offer it to
what
one of you guys.
What are we doing?
Hair on top of hair.
And, you know, so.
Does hair on top of hair even counter what we've got going on here?
Yeah, that's
dude,
a double.
Disrespectful.
I think it was just look I was thinking about.
And that's just again, all. People might not be watching on the Roku channel. And if so, you know, we understand, but why not? Did you get a fresh shave too? Did you do a fresh?
What do you mean?
Like it looks like really.
He's saying your head looks especially shiny.
No, it looks like it.
I do it every day.
Okay,
then,
good.
Then,
I didn't know
then
that.
I get a little stuff put on.
I didn't know. I had no idea because you had like a 5 o'clock hair shadow a little bit yesterday. I couldn't help but notice.
5 o'clock.
But you could check that out on the honestly. Look at the Overreaction Monday podcast. Maybe because it was after the show when we taped it.
Well, I mean, I shave at like 6 a.m. and then we tape at like 1 p.m.
Honestly,
and, then, you know
and
I mean?
I didn't think I'd start this way. Time. There is nobody in our business who grew a 5 o'clock shadow before noon faster than Adam Schefter. Seriously,
yeah.
Schefter would have a 5 o'clock shadow by 10 in the morning.
10,
unbelievable. And I'm like, did you not shave today? I shaved 3 hours ago. So, anyways, we're off and running.
Keith used to grow a spite mustache. Really
Keith
quick
Oberman
too.
Would grow a mustache out of spite overnight because ESPN management didn't like facial hair. All of that stuff. That's why you tune into this program. Well, we're trying to turn your frown upside down, Giants fans. That's what we're trying to do. Because this was a team that won a playoff game last year. It's not just a playoff team from last year. They won a playoff game. They were part of the Final Four in the National Football Conference last year with the Cowboys, Eagles, and Niners. This was a team that went into Minnesota and won and done to Kirk Cousins because Daniel Jones showed up like Colin Kaepernick in Green Bay. That's how he showed up to Minnesota last year. Didn't miss throws. Didn't miss an opportunity to just punk you down the field with his legs too. Also helped that, you know, wait a minute, let me look this up. Oh yeah, Saquon Barkley was on the Giants that day too. And it's amazing how during this game they showed on the Monday Night Football broadcast, Buck Aikman, the whole crew. Interesting, they showed a graphic about how Saquon is worth 3 points a game and basically about extra 40 to 50 yards per game in terms of when he plays and when he doesn't play. And that's the guy that they held the line on salary. That's the guy that they're basically saying, no. This is a market and we must pay you market value and then make sure that you curse on a podcast before you come back and we'll salt your contract with a $900,000 of incentives that, unfortunately, because he's missed two games now, will be very difficult for him to make. And that's why these guys want their money when they want their money. But that was for another day back in the summer and maybe for another day next spring. But this day, on this day, the New York Football Giants look like one of the worst teams in football. And the Seattle Seahawks came in on a Monday night, flying all the way across the country, and essentially held the Dallas Cowboys beer from the first Sunday night of the season. The Giants have played two home games, two nationally televised home games, and they have lost these games by a combined score of 64-3. The good New York Giants season ticket holders and fans have yet to see a touchdown with their own two eyes, unless they flew out to Arizona, maybe to San Francisco, before the boat race was on. And that was just an unfair fight, short week, no Saquon. But this Giants team, having a Seahawks team in their house that, you know, the Rams kind of showed what you can do with a defensive scheme, holding that team to 9 yards in the second half. The Seahawks have won 3 in a row since then. They're 3-1. They look like a playoff team from last year. They look like a playoff team from this year, too. And that defense that the Seahawks brought last night, 248 yards of offense they held the Giants to. The Giants were 6 of 16 on third downs. There was a pick six last night. Devin Witherspoon introduced himself to the nation as, certainly with Christian Gonzalez now out for the foreseeable future, as the defensive rookie of the year. This kid from Illinois, as he was running to the end zone, 97 yards. You know what I thought to myself? I'm like, that's the guy they got in the Russell Wilson trade. Check that box. They got another stud on the back end of a defense. Reek Woolen, another one from last year. They're building a team. The Prez returned last night, unfortunately got concussed. Jamal Adams expected back after the bye that the Seahawks now sit for week 5 on at 3-1. Oh, they forced a fumble on Daniel Jones. There were more sacks last night than out of Tom Rinaldi's mouth in that NFL on Fox commercial that runs every 2 seconds these days. Sackety sack. They didn't talk back. All of that happened last night to the Giants. 11 sacks, 10 of them on Daniel Jones. 2 turnovers on downs for the Giants, including the first drive. So their first drive against the Cowboys ended with a stalled field goal attempt. They blocked that, the Cowboys. The first drive for the Giants last night ended on a if Philly's running the city of brotherly shove play, because we won't call it the tush push here. Please don't call it that. What were the Giants doing? I mean, it's a copycat league, and they need to work on it, because as the Mannings talked about on their Manning cast, Peyton's talking about somebody should get the left cheek and someone should get the right cheek of Daniel Jones and shove. And neither of them got hands on their quarterback. They're there to push him, and Daniel Jones got separation from his own lineman trying to push him. That didn't work. I picked up Coop from his travel ball practice last night. I did, you know, my usual Monday gig of studio work on Westwood One Radio. After halftime, got in the car, listened to Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner on the call. Kurt, by the way, a guest of Susie Schuster and Amy Trask on today's What the Football. And Kurt listened to them call that 97-yard pick six just when you thought Daniel Jones and the Giants put together their best drive of the game. It's 14-3, and here come the Giants after going for it on fourth down. They're going to score, and they're going to score a touchdown and maybe go for two and make it a three-point game. And even if it's a five-point game, we have a game. And then I don't know what the hell happened there. Witherspoon jumped a route. Either Jones threw it to the wrong guy, or one of his guys didn't run the right route, and that's on him, and it looks like it's on Daniel Jones. Whatever it happened, this kid, Witherspoon, who brings the wood and closes like a demon, snatched that one out of the air and took it the route 97 yards. So then I get out of the car, and I get ready to pick Coop up. I missed one drive. I missed the next drive before I, you know, turned the game on my phone. Because I'm a professional. BDE. And by the way, Best dad ever.
PDE.
Right. Well, Suze took him to practice, so. At any rate, long story short, I look at my phone, and I'm like, what was the drive the Giants just had? And I saw this on my phone. I screen snapped it because I can't believe it. I've never seen this before. 9 plays, 2 yards, 4 minutes and 43 seconds. I'm like, this has got to be a typo. All right, I'll bite. What is it? I hit the button, and I look at it. A first down run for no gain on their own 25. A second down 12-yard pass play for 37 yards first down. Play 3, 3-yard pass to the 40. Play 4, 2-yard pass to the 42. Play 5, a tip pass. It's now play 6, 4th down and 5. Daniel Jones, 6 yards first down at the 48. Okay, we're going here. Next play, a 12-yard scramble, call back for a hold. That's play 7. We got to replay it again. So play 7 wound up being a sack, loss of 8 to his own 30 because the holding penalty brought it back to his own 38. So now we're on the 30. Play 8 was a pass of 6 to the 36. Play 9 was a sack, loss of 9 to the 27. Just 2 yards gained from the 25-yard spot that they started the drive in. 9 plays, 2 yards. 4 minutes, 43 seconds. I've never seen anything like it. And this from, again, the guy who the Giants signed. And I know, Brockman, this is exactly what you were talking about when the Giants signed Daniel Jones. Let's put a pin in that for the moment. Because we saw Brian Daboll, the reigning coach of the year, go really right at Daniel Jones after that pick six. And it did not, it didn't look pleasant, to be straight up. Didn't look very pleasant. After the game, Coach Daboll was asked about that very exchange.
What were you trying to show Daniel on that interception? The camera's caught you showing the tablet to him.
I was trying to show him, kind of see what he thought, and then kind of tell him what I saw.
But did he look too happy because you kind of tossed the tablet as you walked away? I mean, what was supposed to happen on that route? Was it?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into particulars of it. Just we didn't get the job done.
What did you want him to do on that play?
Yeah. Well, obviously not throw an interception. So.
I mean, I don't mean to laugh, but you can't help but laugh. I mean, yeah. What did you tell him? I told him, you know, just let's not throw picks, like 6. Daniel Jones after the game. I mean, what else can he say except what he said after the game?
I think we're all frustrated. So, I know I got to play better and I'm going to work as hard as I possibly can to do that. And obviously, I didn't play well enough. It was unacceptable, and I let the team down. So I've got to fix it. I got to work hard to get it right, and I'm going to do that.
You know, to be fair, my next guest, who's joining us in a few minutes, Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, said after the loss to the Lions that started week 4 about Jordan Love, can't throw from your back. Daniel Jones was sacked 10 times. The 11 sacks they gave up last night because Paris Campbell, I guess, was behind the line of scrimmage in a certain way that he got hit, too.
Technically, yeah.
Right. They called it a sack because it was thrown backwards to him. It looked like they were going to go a wide receiver option, and yeah. Devin Witherspoon closed from about 20 yards out in a flash.
That dude had a game. Yeah.
I believe that was a sack. He had his first career sack just straight up on Jones earlier in the game. So that needs to be said completely fair for Daniel Jones. And at least he's fully knowledgeable of the saucepan in which he is currently cooking. Because when he was chosen by the Giants in the draft in Nashville, Tennessee, out of Duke, interestingly enough, he was the 6th overall pick, which made him pick 6 of that draft. Hey. He fully heard from Giants fans when he was slow to start, despite his first career start, I believe, in Tampa, and he had a day.
Well, great comeback to show you
how he can actually perform. But know greater pressure is placed on a New York athlete than one that doesn't perform after he has gotten significantly well paid. Just ask Carlos Rodon blowing kisses to Yankee fans and then in his last start of the year gets pulled in Kansas City. Zero innings pitched, eight earned. Ed Whitson saying, oh, that's bad. That's what happens.
Poor Ed.
He didn't think he'd get, get caught, right? But that's what happens. That's what's happening right now in New York. And even worse is what lays ahead. Their schedule. Oh, my goodness. They've got to go on the road now two more games, which is great because, since again, they've been outscored 64-3 at home in their first two. They're at Miami and at Buffalo next two. And then home for Washington, who, as you know, just damn near handed the Eagles their first loss on the road. Home for the Jets. Say what you will. Say what you will. But a Jets team can bring it like the Seattle defense can bring it. They had Mahomes kind of twisted. Almost picked him off three times, if not for, you know, I don't want to go there. But see what I'm saying? It ain't pretty. And I just got to wonder to myself, as you're sitting here, and the Giants are staring at a 1-6, maybe 1-7 start directly in the face. And I hate to say it, because these are prideful men who play National Football League games. They do not want this to happen. Nationally televised, like the game against the Bills is going to be, by the way, on a Sunday night. Oh, my goodness. In Western New York, where the Bills just laid it on the Dolphins. And in terms of the Commanders, you saw what the Bills did to the Commanders. What are they going to do to this team that can't protect Daniel Jones? I couldn't help but think, as the Giants are beginning to sink in 2023, that somewhere in Los Angeles, California, Caleb Williams is pointing at the screen like Rick Dalton. There it is. There it is. Kid who clearly doesn't want to be drafted first overall by certain teams. Hey, Caleb, you want to go to the town where people like Justin Tuck sell sandwiches for 10 years off of that career? Where Victor Cruz is still selling salsa? You all saw where Stray got his start in becoming the Dick Clark of his generation. Phil Simms has a gig in 2023. He played in the Super Bowl when Reagan was in the White House.
The actor?
Dude.
Back to the Future line.
Do you think Caleb Williams would like to play quarterback for the New York Football Giants? Because whatever they gave Daniel Jones and whatever might be a cap problem for them, if they wind up with the worst record in the NFL and a team that played last night, I know we're marathoning, we're not sprinting. All I'm thinking is what a match that would be. Hurts versus Williams, Dak versus Williams, twice a year. Giants go to battle that way. Because this stuff with Daniel Jones, giving it a whirl, giving it a try, four games in, despite the win in the playoffs last year, that's how quick things can turn. A New York minute, this appears to have turned. Darren Waller, that ploy, that plan, oh, we're gonna be successful. He's turned into the Allen Robinson of tight ends for the Giants. Where's Jalen Hyatt up top? Why don't we just try to take the top off? I don't know. This may be easy fan type, non looking at the film things to say, but I'm trying to go all in here to start this program on what I saw last night, and the Dolphins are next. I mean, Bradley Chubb must have been watching that game last night and doing the Rick Dalton gif too. and then the Bills. Does that sound like a 1-5 to you? Von Miller has been having his practice window opened up. Looks like I'm seeing him in London this weekend against the Jaguars. Hey, I think I've made my point. I don't know what the hell happened to the Giants. They have fallen. They cannot get up. Daniel Jones looks lost. Saquon Barkley, this is exactly another reason why he deserved to be paid. This team is lost without him. Nobody's scaring you. The defense just got beaten by Geno Smith and Drew Locke. I mean, Noah Fant tiptoeing down the sideline. Can somebody shove him out of bounds? I don't know what the hell happened last night. And they're going to be on national TV again in 2 weeks against the Bills, who are rampaging. Look out. And Caleb Williams sitting here in Southern California looking at the Bears, looking at some other teams going on. He'd be like, okay, stick me in the New York market. I'll make this NIL stuff and USC look like child's play. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Oh, yeah, we're off and running. Matt LaFleur, the Green Bay Packers.
LaFleur.
I also have my top five most disappointing starts of 2023 in the National Football League. You want to talk about rants? How is Lewis Black trying him on for size in hour number two? Hour number three of this program, Gerald McCoy in studio, and you threw out at 844-204-RICH. Rich Eisen here. If you love football as much as we do here and want to be in the game every day, there's something the guys on my show have been enjoying. Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports, the number one daily fantasy sports app. Brockman, tell us about Prize Picks and your strategy this season.
Rich, it's so fun and so easy. You know I love this stuff. You pick two or more players based on their stats and place their entry. It takes less than 60 seconds and just a few taps. You make your picks. Boom, you're part of the action. And they have weekly promotions that can lead to big prizes. I love Prize Picks because it adds to my game time experience. I'm more invested in the outcome and I get real-time updates. Like this weekend, you know, if I'm thinking about a certain Indianapolis quarterback going over his rushing yards, or maybe a Pittsburgh receiver getting more than his allotted catches, there I am. Boom. I love it. I love Prize Picks. You should too.
If you're eager to test your knowledge and skills, play the game enjoyed by millions and join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million football fans who have already signed up. Visit prizepicks.com/pigskin and use code pigskin. That's code pigskin at prizepicks.com/pigskin. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Millions of listeners and thousands of five-star reviews rave about the hit podcast series In the Red Clay, the unbelievable story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history.
He was a whiskey man, bank robber, hit man. He was a murderer. He's also my father.
Seasons 1 and 2 are available to binge right now, and bonus episodes are coming soon. Imperative Entertainment presents In the Red Clay. Get the podcast wherever you listen.
We're back here, everybody. We're back. And then, you know, obviously we'll talk Seattle a little bit later on the program. I grew up liking the Giants just as much as the Jets. You know, obviously I'm a Jet fan.
Yeah.
And
you're a Jet fan?
Yeah.
Got it.
Yes. By the way, every single time I'm looking up during my open, I see something peeking up from the top here. So I'm just removing it one by one. Because I'm aware of my surroundings.
Take your time.
There's an umbrella behind you now, Rich, too. Right.
Oh, well, they're setting up for the bear here that's going on this week.
The fair or the bear? What? The bear's what? Coming here to cook?
Yes, chef.
That'd be great.
Yes,
chef.
The bear.
Have you caught up on the bear yet?
Well, yeah, I finished it right away.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Are you caught up?
I am. I finally caught up. When did I catch on Summer Travels? That Christmas episode is one of the greatest episodes of television I've ever seen.
Ever.
It's one of the most chaotic hours that I've ever seen in my life.
Who do you pick from that episode to win the guest Emmy?
Jamie Lee. It has to be, man.
She does melt down in the kitchen, but I'll tell you, man.
Odenkirk,
our guy Odenkirk.
He was good, but she was...
But Odenkirk was... Next level, Bernthal was terrific.
Bernthal was great.
Even Mulaney. Mulaney. Just like the weird guy who's part of the family from marriage. It's awesome.
Well, he's a brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
It's great. It's great.
Yeah, that episode was...
Was amazing, and it explained so much. It's on Hulu, which is available right here on Roku. Look how I'm just turning it back.
Well done, Rich.
For us, and by us, I don't just mean us in studio. I'm talking about the entire Roku platform.
The collective us.
I made an omelet the other day and put chips on it.
Whoa.
Did you really?
You see how Sydney made sugar and all, it's just like, why? And it
why not?
Right.
Why not? Why not? Why not indeed? Back here on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, along with our Roku channel stream, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. We'll talk about the Seahawks end of things from last night. We'll talk about the rest of week four in a moment. We see phone lines lit. It delights. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. But right now, zooming in from the great state of Wisconsin is the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, Matt LaFleur, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Coach?
Doing all right. How are you, Rich?
I'm hanging in there. I appreciate you taking some time here early on in a week for a big game. What are you thinking about right now, 1 month into the season? I'm going to go macro with you to start. What's going through your head right now?
How we can get better. That's all I'm thinking about. It's just we've had, I would say, some up and down performances. At times we've looked pretty good, and other times we have not performed to the level that I think we're capable of performing at. So just trying to make the adjustments, trying to make sure that we're putting our guys in a good situation, and, you know, just that constant quest to for self-improvement.
And Jordan Love's performance, how would you rate it at the quarter post point right now?
I think there's a lot of good out there. Some of the things that you can't coach in terms of hanging in the pocket when it gets muddy at times, making some really tough throws. I think a lot of it is we got to make sure that the 10 guys around him are playing better and as a whole unit. I think there's been a lot of good moments to kind of build upon moving forward.
And then obviously staying healthy, that's the ultimate things you can't control. And as a control freak, which all head coaches are in the National Football League, that has got to be somewhat maddening. Were Christian Watson and Aaron Jones maybe not 100% because it was a short week last week? Let's just say they might have looked differently on a Sunday as opposed to a Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, we knew going into the game. First of all, we didn't really quite know until about Wednesday whether or not they were going to be able to play. And then just going into the game that they were going to be on a pitch count. And on a short week, you don't have that practice time. And it's never an excuse. I mean, every team is dealing with injuries. Every team has, you know, going into that Thursday game, Detroit had the same set of circumstances. And unfortunately we didn't get those guys as involved as we would like to have in that game.
So walk me through, what is your week like with Jordan Love? How much contact and conversation are you having with him and to make sure that he's locked in to your happiness, Coach?
Well, we're in every meeting together. So I'm always going in when we do individual meetings.
Yes.
I'm always in there with the quarterbacks, making sure that he feels comfortable. And he's been awesome to work with. He's really putting in the time to make sure he's got a great handle on the game plan, giving me his thoughts in terms of what we're trying to get done. So I think he's done an outstanding job just being prepared and being a leader, because there's been a couple games now where we've been down, and to see the resiliency that he has, watching him build up his teammates, really encouraging them. I mean, versus New Orleans, that was something else, to be down 17 points in a fourth quarter. And, you know, I know he was frustrated. I was frustrated. I think everybody was frustrated, but there was no flinch, and he kept going and battling. And even versus Detroit, being down 27-3 and having that opportunity right there to cut it to an eight-point game on the two-point that wasn't successful. But I just thought the resiliency he showed has been huge for us.
Is there been any moment in a game at all on the sideline in any of the meetings that you're referring to where he said something or did something, you're like, oh, he got that from Rodgers? Anything? Anything?
Matt? Nothing comes to mind.
Nothing?
He's, yeah.
Okay. Nothing. He didn't pick anything. And I know he's different, but I mean, he must have picked something up from 12 over his time.
Man,
you know?
He's picked up. He's learned a lot from Aaron, just in terms of just how to go about preparing for a game. I think one area that, and Aaron's the best at this, is the cadence. And I've seen Jordan's cadence get better and better and better. Matter of fact, we got to have a little bit more discipline on the offensive line, because he's drawn our own guys offsides a few times.
Is that right? Yeah, because that's what I was referring to, where you're like, okay, now the 3 years that he was sitting there, that's something that he picked up from 12.
That's, yeah, you know. There's been so many things. I think, you know, just how he, you know, has been changing his arm angle. He's done that more than I've ever seen him do it. And I think that's something that Aaron could always do. And you'll see it in practice more so than in the games, when all these guys, they love to throw these no look passes nowadays. Sometimes successfully and some other times not. But that's something that I know that he got from Aaron as well.
Right. And did you hear about the text you received from Aaron after the Bears game? Coach,
I read about that. Yes,
you did read about that. Okay, about that he's appreciative that ownership is still in the proper hands for something like that. Are you in contact with Rodgers? Did you reach out to him after he got hurt? Anything like that, Coach?
Yeah, I certainly reached out to him. You know, anytime a great player like that, and especially somebody that you have a relationship with, you never want to see that. And just wished him well and a speedy recovery. And from the looks of it, it looks like he's doing pretty good. I was surprised to see him out of a boot. And I know that he's recovering a hell of a lot faster than I did for my Achilles.
Yeah, I was wondering. You didn't have the speed bridge, though, right, Coach? You didn't get that speed bridge put in there, supposedly?
I didn't even know what you're talking about.
Well, apparently he got
obviously not.
He got some newfangled thing put in there called the speed bridge that's supposed to speed up his recovery and whatever. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he also just knew that Taylor Swift was in the house and he's a big Swiftie and he wanted to look as best he could, Coach. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do know what you're saying.
What's it going to be like when you see Davante Adams on Monday night, do you think?
Oh, man, that's a tough one for me. I love Davante. Got so much respect for him, just not only as a player, but as a man, as a person, how he goes out there and competes on a daily basis, how he led our wide receiver room and he was a captain here and did a lot of great things for our football team. So it's always hard when you see a guy of that caliber go to another team. And I'm always rooting for him. And he knows that, except for when we have to play him.
Yes, I bet. And I'm sure you already know what type of game he's going to bring. So were you, again, we haven't spoken, you know, since this time, but were you surprised that he left with Rodgers staying, Coach? Did that surprise you when that all went down in Green Bay?
Nothing surprises me in this business. I mean, yeah, it was surprising, but like, you know, it was what it was. And unfortunately, we couldn't work it out and, you know, just wished him the best.
All right. And now, obviously, you're going to be seeing him on Monday night. And what do you think the challenges of this game were? The Raiders having lost three in a row, you know, it's important to them as well. What do you think is going to be your main challenge on this Monday night, Coach?
Well, every week is a challenge in this league, and you better bring your best. Otherwise, you're capable of getting beat by anybody. But I do think they have an extremely talented team. Obviously, this last game, not having Jimmy G at quarterback definitely hurt them a little bit. But they've got great players. They got a hell of a running back, Josh Jacobs. They got, Tay and Jacoby Myers. So they've got a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball. And then, you know, you look on the other side and Max Crosby, he's pretty damn disruptive. So offensively, we're going to have our hands full. We got to make sure we have a great plan for him because he is a guy. I think he had, three sacks in the game. He's a guy that can wreck every play.
And Jordan Love will obviously have to keep out for him. And the chemistry that he has with the young receivers so far, what is your assessment of that? Love and these receivers that obviously last year, that was the conversation between the OG you had at quarterback and the young kids. What about Love and the kids who are more, if you know, just not telling any tales out of school, more in his age group, Coach?
Yeah, I think it's still a work in progress, quite frankly. I think there's been some times where we've had everybody on the same page and we've been able to operate at a high level. And then I think you saw it the other night, there were a couple plays where there's a little miscommunication here or there. And, you know, we throw an interception and we don't pick up a critical third down early in the game. So there's still some moments and still a lot to learn, I think, as we move forward with the whole group as a collective.
And again, you're not a doctor. You don't play one on TV. Bakhtiari, do you think you're going to get him back? What's your concern level here with your best?
I'm very concerned. I mean, because this is year three of this now. So, obviously very concerned, and when you saw it and when he played against Chicago week one, I mean, he was playing at an elite level with not a lot of practice. That just kind of speaks to the type of player that he is. And he knows how to get his body and mind prepared mentally to go out there and compete at a high level. So anytime you don't have a pro bowler like him in the lineup, it is a concern.
All right, Coach, I really appreciate the time right here. Have a great Monday night. Let's do this a little more often. I appreciate you taking my call. Hey, I greatly appreciate it.
Anytime you want me on, man, just tell our people.
Okay, Matt, I'm going to take you up on that. Be careful. And then, you know, obviously the draft's coming there, not next year, 2 years from now. We've got a lot of time. Dinner at your house? Is that all right if I invite myself?
You like wine, Rich?
Huh?
You like wine?
Oh, yeah. You had me at hello right there. Red. Are you a red guy? Are you a red guy? What is it? What's your choice? What are you opening? What are you opening when I invite myself over to your house for the draft in a couple of years? What do you got?
I'm a big hall guy. I like hall.
Okay. Does that pair with oats? I haven't had hall. Does that pair with oats? I mean, what do you mean hall?
It pairs with anything.
Okay, very good. All right, that's the label. Okay, very good.
You haven't had hall, huh?
That's no, I've not. Okay. I got to go.
Great. Casa Piena is one of my favorites. Okay.
I'm a Brunello guy. I go Brunello. Oh, I go Brunello.
Italian. Okay. I got you.
Absolutely. I go Brunello first, and then a big booming cab. You know, Pinot. Like if I had to go, that's my draft board. That's my wine draft board.
I would say for me, this time of the year, I'm more of a red blend kind of guy.
Okay.
Than cab, than Pinot.
Okay. Look at us right now. All right. I'll bring the cheese. I have a feeling I can find some in Wisconsin.
Yeah, there's some cheese around here. Sure.
Take care of yourself, Matt LaFleur. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, Rich.
You bet. Have a good one. All righty. Fun stuff with the head coach of the Green Bay Packers right there. It's not right to ask another man how do you maintain the tightness of the beard, right? Would that have been weird?
Yeah,
like you get 12 minutes with the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, and you I would never have asked Holmgren about his mustache. You know what I mean?
But we're impressed. Like he's very impressive. He's a good looking guy. So you know it's perfectly maintained and lined up.
That's maintenance. Maintenance.
His beard is proper. It looks like my man Benny Blades hooked him up.
It's like, Benny Blades.
Look at you.
It's Benny Blades.
Are you trying to get a free cut out of something here?
Benny won't give me a free cut. So
no. Benny's got some big time people going where TJ gets his hair.
Oh, is that right? How do you know?
Oh, well, we've talked. One of the greatest.
I'm glad you talk.
We've
spoken about it. Yeah. One of the greatest musical gurus in keyboards goes in with TJ. I want to meet him, actually.
True.
Thanks. He does.
I want Scott a deep Storch. Dive Great on when did Devontae Adams say I want out? And when did Rodgers tell the Packers and Adams I'm coming back? I know this is dead, buried, page turned. But that sequence led to Rodgers' final year playing out the way that it did in Green Bay. Or led to the fact that it was, in fact, his final year in Green Bay. I want to know, when did he decide that he was out in relation to when Rodgers let it be known he's not going anywhere? And then, from that, I want to know, what was Adams told by Josh McDaniels and the Raiders about Derek Carr's long-term viability as quarterback there? Because the Raiders, he chose for various reasons. One of them being his BFF from Fresno was there. And then, poof, home for Christmas, never to return. Aiden O'Connell has his number. Oof. I mean, 4-17.
It looks really weird.
On Sunday.
I know.
But it was Aiden O'Connell, while Derek Carr is playing for the Saints. I want answers. I may not be able to handle the truth, but I want answers.
Who ordered it?
I don't know.
We all know who ordered the code red on Derek Carr.
I don't know if anyone cares what you think you are entitled to.
Because that decision that you heard the coach say, nothing surprises me in the NFL. But it surprised him that Adams is like, yeah, I'm out. Rodgers is back, but I'm still out. Because I want to go to Vegas. I've always wanted to play with Derek Carr in the pros. And Vegas is closer to the coast that he wanted to be near, and that's it. And now he's there. Derek Carr isn't. And Rodgers isn't in Green Bay right now. Jordan Love's finally getting his shot. And that was all born out of that sliding door, two ships, whatever you want to call it. I would love to get an answer to that one day. Do you think I will get it?
No. Maybe a Davante Adams sit down in like 2 years, maybe?
I don't know. But I'm fascinated about that. I don't know. But what purpose does it serve him to, you know, talk about it right now?
Doesn't. Maybe like the Aaron Rodgers football life for 30 for 30 that gets made before he goes to the Hall of Fame in like 7 years.
He's, by the way, Davante Adams, so good. This just in. Uh-huh. But I mean,
breaking news.
Unbelievable. And I'm sure it's got to eat at him a little bit. We're talking Justin Jefferson. We're talking Jamar Chase. We're talking Tyreek Hill. We're talking about those three guys. And he's still, he's the same guy. He's as good as he's ever been.
Only 30.
As good as he's ever been. And the Raiders are 1-3, taking on this team, Green Bay, on Monday night. A little bit of a reunion. It's good chatting with Matt LaFleur. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll take your phone calls. And there's a lot of NBA chatter going on. Guess who's the face of the Los Angeles Lakers? It's not Austin Reeves.
Oh, what?
Susie Schuster and Amy Trask present offbeat conversations and expert sports commentary as they ask, what the football?
When my family found out how long it took me to figure out why Charles Woodson named his wine Intercept, they said, there's a reason that you had trouble in school.
You know, not everyone knows, you know, when they think of a bottle of Intercept, they don't know that I play football.
Well, what I've learned is a smooth defensive back can make smooth wine.
That's what it's all about.
What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. The podcast is available Tuesdays, wherever you listen.
We're back here. Okay, I've been told there's a photograph of the owner of the New York Jets. Uh-oh. I need to see. I have not seen it. Oh.
Oh, look at that. Sheesh.
That inspire you?
You know what?
Does that make you want to throw the towel?
No. I am not here for the Taylor Swift hate. I'm just not here for it.
No.
I'm not ready for it, whatever you want to say. Just not here for it. I know she's completely overexposed to the NFL fan right now, and everyone's like, yeah, we get it. Okay. I'm happy for one of my favorite players in the league that we knew way back when he was
way back
catching Kelsey.
We go way back.
You know what I mean? We go way back when he was – that was his first appearance on this program when he was promoing his reality show that I can guarantee you if he's watching out right now, he would like me to not mention anymore.
He's like, Coach Reed's not too happy about it.
Remember he came on a few years later in the Minnesota Super Bowl, right? The day, by the way, I believe the day they traded away Alex Smith, and he's just like, you know, that's my guy. Yeah. You know, it is Mahomes' time, having no idea that his life was about to change based on that trade. And then he was talking about, you know, his girlfriend or whatever. And I'm like, oh, is that the girl from Catching Kelsey? And he leans in and he goes, it is not.
It was like the Jonah Hill gif
His commercials, you know, right now there was one for Experian that made me laugh out loud.
Experian was funny.
He's
got four different spots going
and
right
I,
now.
And I see, you know, the Pfizer spot that he's in is now got the far right that's now being anti-Taylor Swift because he's taking, you know, a vaccine or promoting the vaccine. It's nuts what's going on in this country. Oh, Cooper loves the Mahomes Ma-Auto commercial.
Ma-Auto's really funny.
Loves that. So we're referring to Kelsey as Ma-Auto in the house now. Back here on our show, talking about Kelsey, who I think the world of. You go, Travis. You go. And I'm not here for the Taylor Swift backlash. Do you think, that said, let's go in. Do you think she will appear at Minnesota this weekend?
What's the weather like in Minneapolis?
It doesn't matter. It's indoors. It's indoors. By the way, beautiful stadium. Spectacular. I bet you she's... By the way, she has played in every stadium she's appeared in.
That's true.
I mean, Rich, we've maybe been,
more
we've been
than
there.
Some NFL players. She's probably played in more stadiums 100%. Than actually NFL players.
How many days was she at SoFi?
Six, I think.
So figure if you have eight home games.
Who's going to be in SoFi Stadium more this year? Her or either one of you combined? Oh, that's a great, that's more likely. Because you guys are right now saying, really are there any Eagles fans that are going to take my tickets? You are just literally spending every day on what, you know. By the way, Game Time. That's perfect.
There, we've got them up there.
Get on there.
Shall we do it?
Get your tickets on Game Time.
You can shoot me a DM if you want at Chris Brockman.
Put her on there. Who's gonna be in SoFi Stadium more this year? Taylor Swift, because I'm imagining. Wait a minute, KC is at LAC at the end of the year. She's not on her because we checked. She doesn't start her world tour until late February, I think, or early February. She might be in her pre-concert tour bubble by then.
She's in Japan weekend of the Super Bowl.
Oh, she'll be in Vegas. She'll be at Vegas week 12.
Yeah. At New England?
That's Thanksgiving.
Too cold?
That's Thanksgiving weekend. You hang out with you have turkey with the Kelseys and you get into Vegas.
You think it's still going on by then?
Oh, you're terrible.
Brockman, I love
you're terrible. Here we go.
I love you.
How many locations will she be? She will be maybe week 18 in SoFi. She was in SoFi 6 dates. Six.
So well, I'm only going to 2 games. So she got
you beat.
Doesn't even get by 4.
Chris,
we're done.
What's more likely?
Her movie comes out October 13th, and then it's over. We're not going to see her anymore.
You're just, you know what, you sir, are hard hearted.
I'm a realist.
It's not all about dollars and cents, to use the good Godfather phrase.
Yeah, but hard-hearted. If it don't make dollars, then it don't make sense. So.
Thank you, TJ.
Terrible.
I would say she's going to be at SoFi more than me.
There you go.
She's definitely got me.
Whose house? Great season ticket holders over there.
The
so
house.
Great. Swerve's you guys are awesome. Nick in Birmingham. Is this? Are you calling from where I'm heading, Nick, right now?
I am, Rich. Yes. Buongiorno from the number one golfing continent in the world.
Fantastic.
I wanted to chat about a couple of things. We last spoke like over a year ago about a ridiculous fantasy football draft I was in, but I'm 33 years old. I've got a lot of S going on, so I haven't called recently. I recently became a girl dad, which has been pretty nuts. So a couple of things. So in reaction to Chris Long's call yesterday, Young Chicken Eating Brett Favre is a fantastic name for something. I don't quite know what yet. But it's great. Sam Howell is that dude. Making up for the secondary and the offensive line being pretty woeful. I genuinely thought we were going to get rolled by the Eagles on Sunday as much as the Bills rolled over us. I also wanted to give you some recommendations for your time in London. I know you've been over here a number of times.
Yes, sir.
But you're a guy who likes your food. Just heard you're a guy who likes your wine. The restaurant my sister-in-law works in, Studio Franson, has actually got a number of Brunello vintages on their wine menu.
Studio what? So, what's it called?
Studio Franson. It's actually in the top of Harrods in Knightsbridge.
Oh, okay. Top of Harrods. So, that sounds very nice. If I wanted to have, say, a meetup with folks like you and other Brits who might take in this program or NFL Network, say on a Tuesday night, would that work? I mean, where would I go, Nick?
I mean, that would definitely work. I actually, my second recommendation to you was going to be a small business in South London, which is run by a couple of friends of mine, one who actually personally knows Aaron Rodgers. They've kitted out the Green Bay Packers and the Minnesota Vikings in vintage gear, and I'm sure they can hook you up.
Okay. What's the name of that establishment, Nick? What's the name of that establishment?
It's called National Vintage League.
Vintage? Is that what it's called?
National Vintage League. So, like National Football League, but slot football for vintage.
National Vintage League, the NVL. Ooh. Okay.
That's the one.
Okay. Now, that's easy to remember. All right, Nick, I appreciate it. Look, maybe we'll all hook up at the NVL sometime next week. How does that sound?
Sounds great, Rich.
All right, Nick, thanks again. We'll send one out, like a tweet out or something like that. NVL. I'll bring Kurt, right?
Yeah.
Aaron.
Where are you?
Maybe NVL. At the NVL.
I was just going to say.
Maybe he's at the NVL with his speed bridge, the London speed bridge.
Hey,
London speed bridge.
Yeah.
What? All right. By the way, Nick sounded completely up on the program.
Yeah.
Completely up on
a young chicken eating Brett Favre.
Young chicken eating Brett Favre. Chris Long was on one yesterday night.
Nobody won Powerball.
Oh, look at us.
Well, you know how
what
you
is
know
it up to now?
You know how you know I didn't win?
Well, we're all still here today.
Excuse me. Would you really leave if you won the lottery? You'd leave. You wouldn't work here anymore.
No. With all due respect.
I would.
I 100%
Rick,
would.
Rick, you
too.
And I are different.
I would be here.
You and I are different.
Rich, what if I said, I just made $1 billion. See you later. You go find another job.
I'd You'd say congratulations cool to
That's
you,
why
man.
I'm saying you and I are different. I'm not the boss. I'm the employee. So I got things to do and
golf courses
to play.
I need you.
You'd get me probably for the rest of the year, football season.
Oh,
well,
okay.
You leave after football. Rich,
so
I'd
kind.
Stay, yeah. Rich.
I told you on Friday, Rich, we had this conversation.
I was supposed to take that.
I'd stay, but I'd have security sitting out here because I'm rich.
I would land on there's a building with a heliport next door. I tell TJ.
You guys
no,
wouldn't
I
hear
won.
Much from me.
By the way,
I'd land on the heliport.
You are so, you, out of
lying,
all
Mike,
of us
lying.
Here. Would
I would
never
stay.
Quit.
I would never quit.
You would still work.
No, I'd park my
Mike, you wouldn't quit now.
You and your Maybach, right you'd have your selfie in your Maybach smiling on the way to make sure the Angels 100%. And White Sox sounded great on Baby Fox.
100%.
You'd still do that.
You're a little right. Hoskins is laughing.
That's definitely true.
100% I would quit. Yeah. Well, I love what I do. Yeah. Why would I quit?
He would threaten.
That's
to
why
quit
I'm saying, but you don't
day.
Love what you
I
do.
Never, nah.
But he wouldn't actually do.
Don't answer
it.
That.
I do,
don't
but
answer.
I'm a billionaire. Yeah.
Brockman would go golf.
You'd have to
he
give me
golf.
Like a month off for sure.
I don't need to get
vacation.
Trolled by 49er fans when I'm a billionaire. Okay,
that is true.
Facts.
Money can't buy you that sort of fencing, sir. Money can't buy it.
Look, man.
Talk about the most sensitive fan base.
What is
the Niners? 49ers.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. Jesus.
The whole
thing. Yeah. Calm down,
what
everybody.
Did you say
how about
that?
Be careful.
I said they would get smoked by the Bills if they played tomorrow.
Here we go. Hold on a second.
And it was just like, this guy doesn't know why is he ever.
Hold on a second. Most sensitive fan base. Niners or Swifties?
Oh, Swifties.
Oh.
I've been attacked.
I'm gonna
trust
me.
I'm
gonna put up a poll.
Swifties,
right
Niners,
now.
Swifties. Or Swifties.
Be careful, Chris. Yeah. Don't do that. Do not engage. I would rather engage the Swifties than the 49er fans,
no.
Who, by the way,
no.
Go all in on me
no. Rich,
when
no.
I'm talking about. How dare you say that about Trey Lance? And
Rich.
Now they're like, who?
Explain.
No, they're like, who? They're like, oh my goodness, Trey Lance. He absolutely has a chance to start. And why would you even say that? I'm like, I love the guy. I'm not criticizing him.
Exactly.
Why are you coming at me? And now they're all like, who?
I was like, why does this guy throw so much shade at the 49ers?
Who's that
Where
guy?
Were you 2 weeks ago when I said Brock Purdy was a top five quarterback?
It's almost like you're looking at a 12-year-old and you're saying, you know what? Are you ready for it? Not that good.
Not that good.
Say that to my daughter. Fighting words. It's like it was
I don't
like
fight, I don't want to fight
it
your
was
daughter.
Like telling, it was like, no, you don't.
I don't.
You don't.
Taylor Brock
beat me up.
You don't.
I don't want to fight her.
We're trying to tell her that. I'll say, we're trying to tell her, nut taps are not cool.
Oh.
They are not cool.
Wait, is this where I tell 49ers fans, like,
to her brothers
on the West Coast?
She hits their brothers where they
live. Watching and loving the 49ers?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
People are insane.
Be careful. Don't engage.
And that's why Taylor's number one on your ranking.
Insane.
Just congratulate. Do not hate.
Every Monday, Rich Eisen and Chris Brockman react to what's happening in the world of football on Overreaction Monday.
Dolphins, Final Four AFC team.
Oh, that is not an overreaction at all. I'm with you.
You're in.
I am in. The other three Final Four teams, if you ask me to call
right
my
now.
Shot, this
right
is
now.
The Overreaction
call
Monday
shot.
Podcast.
Call your shot.
Entertainment purposes only, unless I'm right.
Yeah.
Chiefs, Dolphins, Bills, Ravens.
Ravens.
Final Four.
Overreaction Monday, the podcast, wherever you listen.